From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. President Obama and the First Family have arrived in Russia. The Obama administration says it expects to announce some progress on arms control later today, following a meeting between the president and his Russian counterpart, Dmitry Medvedev. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Aides to Mr. Obama say there's much more work to be done before they can finalize an arms control deal to replace the START treaty, which expires in December. But they say negotiators have made progress, and they expect today's meeting between the two presidents will be productive. Russia's concern with a planned U.S. missile defense system in Europe is still a potential roadblock for any deal. Presidential adviser Gary Seymour says that system is designed to defend against much smaller nuclear threats, such as North Korea or perhaps Iran.
We don't believe that it poses a threat to Russian strategic systems. The Russians have to be convinced of that.
Aides say the U.S. is not prepared to trade away its planned missile defense during this week's Moscow meeting. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Moscow.
A bankruptcy judge in New York has ruled that General Motors can sell the bulk of its assets to a new company. The ruling clears the way for the automaker to quickly emerge from bankruptcy. U.S. Judge Robert Gerber ruled late yesterday that the sale is needed to avoid immediate and irreparable harm to GM. GM's government-backed plan for a quick exit from Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection hinges on the sale, which will allow the automaker to leave behind many of its costs and liabilities. A new report warns that the chronic hunger could be the defining human tragedy of the century. Oxfam International interviewed farmers around the world and found that climate change is already affecting crops. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports.
The Oxfam study finds that just a 1 degree Celsius temperature shift can make traditional crops unsustainable. It says farmers in the tropics are changing what they plant, but that unpredictable rainfall makes picking a new crop risky. The study predicts rice and corn will be among the foods most affected, with rice production in the Philippines falling by as much as 50% to 70% in the next decade. The report warns that such shifts could fuel mass migrations and social unrest. Oxfam hopes to inject a sense of urgency as the group of eight wealthiest nations meet this week to discuss, among other things, food security and climate change. The United Nations has estimated that some $200 billion a year may be needed in coming decades to help poorer nations cope with the effects of climate change. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.
Oil fell below $64 a barrel in Asian trading today as dismal unemployment figures from the U.S. and Europe last week increased investor concern about the economic recovery. Benchmark crude for August delivery fell by $2.97 to $63.76 a barrel. This is NPR News. Officials say the struggling economy in California's Central Valley has left farmers vulnerable to poachers. As Bob Hensley reports from Modesto, the volume of losses has reached the point where it is creating a hardship for growers operating on slim profit margins.
The unemployment rate in the region is well into the double digits, and food banks can't keep up with demand. A combination of the two has made thousands of acres of fruits and vegetables in the valley a prime target for thieves. While some culprits steal from fields and orchards to feed their families, others sell the ill-gotten produce for cash, according to Daniel Rao of the California Farm Bureau.
We're seeing roadside vendors that are providing a variety of fruits and vegetables that in many cases could be stolen.
Stopping the theft is difficult, especially on farms that stretch over hundreds of acres. The problem is compounded because cash-strapped law enforcement agencies are being forced to cut back rural patrols. For NPR News, I'm Bob Hensley in Modesto, California.
A deadline has been set for this week for the possible sale of the Boston Globe. The New York Times Company, which owns the Globe, has set Wednesday as the deadline for initial non-binding bids. That's according to a confidential letter sent by Goldman Sachs to potential buyers. The letter says that after initial bids, the company will decide which potential buyers will participate in a second round of bidding. Potential buyers could include Partners Healthcare Chairman Jack Connors, as well as Stephen Taylor, a former Globe executive whose family sold the newspaper to the Times Company back in 1993. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News, in Washington.